I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Cairo. I've been there. Cairo.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Hey there, this is Rachel Herndon Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, back again with my co-host Becky Lohman of the Catalyst Group, of course Ben Peters, also of the Missouri Times. We have a very special guest today, Stephanie Bell of Blitzbergen-Deutsch, for our Autumn of the Attorney. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm really excited to have you. Also very excited about our sponsor, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. I will never forget to mention you. So Stephanie is interesting, and Ben will know this. He sees her probably often at the PSC meetings, and you're definitely an attorney who knows why the PSC is important to, like, just the average bear. Why is the PSC so important?
Right. Well, I do practice in the area of the PSC, and I just think it's really important for people to be engaged. It affects every person. And so I listen to your podcast, and we hear a lot about different issues. So one I was thinking about was tax credits. And tax credits affects a very small group of people when you think about it. But with the PSC, the issues really affect everyone. Everyone needs electricity. Everyone needs water. So whether you're a individual, a small business, a big business, a nonprofit, you have to pay that bill at the end of the month. And so it's an issue that's important to everyone in Missouri.
I think it's kind of interesting. A lot of people, especially like younger legislators who are coming in, don't realize that Missouri has a semi-regulated utility environment. That for the most part, if your rates are going to get raised or lowered, or if there's going to be a new tax or whatever you want to call it, that gets approved for the government process. And you can watch it go through the system. Like, it's no surprise whenever there's a new ISRIS or what have you.
Right. The rate, the PSC, actually, I think it was really on the forefront of a lot of these transparency initiatives. They stream everything live. You can go to their website and sign up for their news releases. They do a really, they had online filing before a lot of counties had online filing for civil court cases. And so, you know, they try really hard to get the information out there. And, you know, I know you all are covering the PSC issues really frequently. Commissioner Roop is out there doing some blogging about PSC issues. But I still feel like the general public and even people within the Capitol, don't really keep a close tab on what's happening over there. So
I will say Commissioner Roop blogs a lot on LinkedIn. And yeah, he had a post where he photoshopped himself and it said, "You down with OPC? Yeah, you know me." And to this day, it's saved in a special folder on my computer. It says for rough days only.
Well, I want to know what else is in that folder.
His website is a very interesting place to get lost in. Like, I will admit that I will go onto that website and I will just find myself reading about why the PSC and utilities in general are characters from Game of Thrones. So that was, if you're listening, Commissioner, that was probably one of the best reads that I've had in a long time. So I highly recommend it.
Well, and OPC is really important over at the PSC. So for listeners who aren't familiar with OPC, Office of the Public Counsel, it's really the entity that represents all consumers in Missouri. So as an attorney, I often intervene in rate cases, which are the cases that the general rate cases where the utilities come before the commission to request a rate increase. And, different parties are allowed to intervene, be it cities, be it consumer groups, be it business groups. And so I'm often usually on the side of the consumer, and OPC is there as kind of a representative of all consumers. And they do a really great job, just advocating on behalf of consumers. But at times, as you all know, consumers don't always agree. And so they kind of have to walk that balance, which is why it's important for members of the public and just other entities to kind of be engaged and know about what's happening over there.
And for those of our listeners around the state who don't know, the PSC is a public service commission. It regulates utilities. It even does telecom, right?
Right.
Some. And Ben, my boy Ben Peters over here, covers it most every Wednesday, unless we're meeting on Thursdays, and then he covers it on Thursdays. He used to grumble and grunt about covering the PSC, and now he just is like a PSC fangirl.
Well, yeah, I basically am at that point where Wednesdays are my favorite day
right now. He just loves it.
Because I know what to expect then. I mean, with the PSC, I have a list of the agenda items that are coming up. You know, that's definitely something in terms of transparency. I know what to expect with the PSC nowadays.
And I think it's so complicated to outsiders that once you have that knowledge, I mean, you're an expert, right? Like, by and large, most people don't understand how it works. And so I think you get enjoyment from realizing that you probably are a subject matter expert where most people aren't.
I remember whenever Rachel Hassani started working for Commissioner Roop, whenever they went from the Senate over to the commission, she sent me, like, a picture of, like, or she put it on Facebook, like, a stack of books she was reading about, like, utility law. And Rachel isn't a lawyer, but she wanted to understand it. You get a lot of passionate staff over there. And, you know, I want to talk about OPC a little bit. Just since I stopped covering PSC, because Ben's here now, I don't have to. There's been a lot of evolution for OPC. Whenever I started, it was Derek, and then it was James Owen, and now it's Hampton Williams. Mm-hmm. And it would be very interesting to get Derek and Hampton in a room together and have them debate, because I can't think of anything they would agree on. Maybe their coffee drink?
Hampton would be an excellent guest for the podcast.
I think I'm going to invite him.
You should.
I think I will. And it's kind of funny. Hampton and I went to college together. We did some organizational stuff on campus together. And so watching his career evolve, too, has been interesting. Of course, the full circle of and working right down the street for me has been kind of funny.
Yeah, and that's just been interesting. And you know, and I had to, you know, I'm still getting to know the PSC. I mean, it's a huge organization, and the people there are just brilliant. You know, you've got engineers, and you've got economists, and you've got just so many different people working on so many different issues. And then on top of that, all of the attorneys. You know, it's a really interesting process, and it's important for people to know about.
I don't think I believed an economist could be a job until I learned about the PSC.
Mm-hmm. Economics professor. Well, <that's
laughs> so speaking of Hampton, kind of, the Federalist Society came to Jefferson City. You have a new chapter. You're one of the founding members. With you got House Counsel David Welch. Hampton was involved. Mm-hmm. You, which you seem like you're always involved in things. So, what is the Federalist Society?
Well, the Federalist Society is an organization mainly consisting of lawyers, and it founds itself on a couple of different principles. And so, really, it talks about that the state exists to preserve freedom. That separation of powers is fundamental to the Constitution, and that the judiciary should say what the law is and not what it should be. And so those are really three principles that are kind of fundamental to the Federalist Society. And really it's a membership organization, like most other groups. You know, we get together, and it serves as a place where people can go to learn about different ideas. So there was already a Kansas City chapter and already a St. Louis chapter. There was a big event in Jefferson City last year, and I think everyone in the room who was from Jefferson City kind of looked around and said, why don't we have a Jefferson City chapter? There's also a chapter at Mizzou, a student chapter. So
it's kind of, I did high school debate very passionately, and I remember like having a federalism DA. And I never thought I was going to use that knowledge again until I saw Federalist Society. And I was like, oh, federalism, I know what that is.
Right. Right. So, yeah, it's really great. And, I mean, that's what the Federalist Society, the new chapter, hopes to bring to Jefferson City. And so they're already planning another event for January, which will be January 29th. And that event is hoping to cover, you know, there's been a lot of talk about dark money, campaign finance, free speech. So I don't think the speakers are confirmed yet, but that's generally where that event is going. And the goal at Federalist Society is to bring in people with opposing viewpoints. And sometimes those are within the Federalist Society. Sometimes those are other speakers. And then get that discussion going. And when I was thinking about the Federalist Society, I was thinking, I'm going to get the quote wrong, but, you know, on the Senate wall, the quote is, let free and fair discussion ever be the firmest friend of truth, right? And
just offhand, and she knew that.
Right? That's one of my favorite ones. And so that's what I think about when I think about the Federalist Society. You know, we kind of all get in our little silos, you know. Ben's over here in the PSC silo right now, or whatever. So, and so it's great to kind of step outside that and hear from different people with different perspectives and kind of stretch your own bounds of what, you know, your beliefs and what you think. So,
I will say, I think it's kind of interesting to watch attorneys actually work in the, like, governmental theories. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Ben's giving me this side eye like you wouldn't believe.
He's giving
me
the emoji that's like that's
he's
the
giving
question
me the emoji,
emoji
where he's scratching his chin like, where are you going with this, Rachel? But there are attorneys who definitely fight for bigger government, and there are attorneys who, through their clients, fight for smaller government, and I think it's interesting just to watch them work and develop the law the way they do.
Right, and I think, you know, when you're making those cases, when you have constitutional arguments, when you're arguing about the meaning of a statute and you're trying to get back to legislative intent, I mean, a lot of my legal arguments end up being somewhat of, you know, this is what I think the legislature intended, or this is what I think the spirit of the law is, or this is what, you know, and so a lot of that policy serves as kind of a background or an undertone, even when you're making legal arguments.
Kind of a throwback, but I think it's interesting. So Governor Jay Nixon is doing some work with the PSC for the Clean Line, and I got to read one of his notices or briefs, whatever fancy people call it. But he was arguing Commerce Clause, and I don't think I've read about Commerce Clause since, like, high school government. And it was kind of nerdy, but I was like, yeah, that's really cool. And so you're involved in the Federalist Society.
Yes.
And you are a woman who is known to be kind of, like, involved in everything. You were president of the Downtown Association for a while.
I was.
And you're not anymore.
I'm not. I'm the immediate past president. It's a good position to have if you can get it.
But it seems to be, you still know everything that's going on downtown.
I do. I've been, I have a baby that's about to turn a year, so I've been a little bit underground for a while, but I still pay close attention. Our business is in downtown Jefferson City. That's how I first got involved in downtown. And it's just really important to me to have a vibrant downtown in Jefferson City, so.
And I was telling Ben and Becky earlier, the way I met you is I moved to Jefferson City. I was working in the Capitol, and I thought Jeff City was, like, super boring. My neighbor above me in my apartment building, she worked at, and still works at River City Florist, and she kept talking about Downtown Association. And so I met Stephanie through this association that puts on a ton of stuff downtown. So for the people who think Jefferson City is really boring, it actually isn't. And it probably takes, like, less than 5 minutes with Stephanie Bell to learn that. So there's the Thursday Night Lives, which are fun.
Right. Big concerts right in downtown.
I heard you had some interesting news regarding parking that some of our listeners are going to be very interested in.
I do. So Jefferson City, you know, we see a little bit of talk on social media about parking issues.
And the parking popo.
Yes. And
Catalyst Fund, so many Jefferson City renovations.
Thank you for all of your contributions, voluntary and involuntary.
I wanted to give back to the community. It's given so much to me, so that's
correct. I don't know what the parking fund is sitting at. It might be $3 million or something. So all of the money.
Half of that's Catalyst.
The other half is Scott Fund.
And half of Catalyst is me, so a quarter of that.
So all of the money for the parking fund, basically, that, you know, that the parking division generates goes into a parking fund, and it funds a few things, but really they're accumulating it ultimately to build, I think, a new garage. But before, the last parking study that had been done was, I think, 20 years old. So they just completed a new parking study in the spring of this year, and they just presented that at one of the committee meetings before the council. And I think it's headed to the council. But they are, so now that they've kind of determined that we're short some parking spots.
Nice that they did that. That we might be short parking.
Well, and you know, I always tell people, I would much rather be short of parking spots than have an oasis of empty parking spots, because that means much greater trouble for downtown Jefferson City.
True.
So, you know, and I think it just kind of, you know, it depends on when you're in downtown, what you're trying to do, how close you want to park, those kinds of things. But so they're about to do a feasibility study, and that's kind of the next step. And with that feasibility study, they'll be looking at obviously costs and then location. You know, where should that garage go?
Very close to the Capitol. As close as possible.
Well, and one site that's been looked at before with other projects was, you know, down closer to Capitol Plaza. Then you have the issue that people are, you know, hiking up the hill. So would it be better to be the other, you know, further away but flat, or closer but, you know?
I feel like Scott wants me to say this, but I'm sure he'd be really happy to tear down the bureaucratic mecca that is the Truman Building and put a parking garage just right there.
That, you know, Or yeah. right next
the
to
the possibilities
it.
Are endless.
They really are. They really are. And I would say for people, I mean, there are, beyond the Madison Street Garage, there are a number of city lots, you know, around downtown that you can buy the monthly pass. We had to get an extra one. I think it's $30 a month. So if you are that person that's getting a whole lot of tickets, I would call the city because those spots occasionally open up.
Don't give my boss any ideas about me parking further away from the Capitol because that's where I get in trouble. That's where I get in trouble.
But so that issue is really important with downtown. But also, I would just encourage your listeners to, you know, pay attention to what's going on in downtown. We have a ton of lobbyist members. It's really, I think it's $150 a year to be a member of the Downtown Association, get all the emails, be involved. And we have lobbyists who are actually property owners who are helping, you know, kind of bring back some of the buildings, which is nice. And so it's a great organization, and I think, you know, I know lobbyists really enjoy the grand, you know, things that weren't there 10 years ago.
Another
so,
investment of Catalyst Funds. and
the downtown businesses, you know, really appreciate the business that the legislature draws to downtown Jefferson City. But, you know, if you want to be in on the conversations as far as parking, what's coming up, you know, what's available, you know, and what might affect businesses in and around downtown, it's a good association to be a part of.
I do have to say that the businesses in Jeff City are fantastic. You can tell, like, they talk the talk and walk the walk about appreciating everybody coming in here and doing everything they can. Kevin at the Grand lets you charge your phone behind the bar. He, you know, they will bring catering to the Capitol if we need that. And then Jamie at Cork, I mean,
she's awesome.
They're awesome. They're fantastic. They're fun to work with. You can tell they like their jobs. You can tell everybody kind of has a little political bug, and so they'll know random things. I mean, that's Kevin probably has all of the secrets. Like, if I ever need to know what's going to happen in the Senate, like, Kevin at Grand probably has overheard what's happening. That's probably the low-key intel that he has.
I think in January, the episode before the session starts, we should have Kevin as our guest.
Okay.
Just for reasons.
You should. Okay. I like this idea. A different perspective.
Yeah. I think, you know, and especially over the next couple of months, I think we're going to hear, I mean, Amazon is going to be all the rage. And, you know, I am a personal fan of Amazon. But there is something, you know, there is just the whole Shop Small initiative. There's just something mm-hmm. that can't be replicated by a good, vibrant downtown. Right. If you didn't know, all the businesses in downtown will gift wrap your package for free. Yeah. That is a service that just really can't be replicated by Amazon. So I think make sure you're checking them out when you can and get involved.
I will say, if you want to be really disappointed by Amazon, have them gift wrap your package.
It's just a colored bag.
It
that
would
doesn't
be
count.
They wrapped one of mine, and it was terrible. It was embarrassing. I had to redo it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's right. All the Christmas presents that I get for people that I truly care about when I give them, like my nieces or whoever. Well, Hallmark has a ton of charm bracelets, and so I have two nieces. One just turned 10, and the other's 3, and they have charm bracelets, and I get them charms for various things, and they get these little boxes, and, like, one little charm is, like, gift-wrapped. So cute. Anyway, 5 questions with Becky.
5 questions. Oh, my gosh. These aren't that scary. These aren't that scary, I promise. Question 1. What personality trait do you think makes the best attorneys?
Ooh.
I would say honesty and integrity, I think, really, with the best, you know, you have to be honest with yourself, honest with your client, honest with the court, but also just integrity in the way you treat other attorneys. In the area of law that I practice, be it, you know, PSC, licensing, campaign finance, you know, we all are working together regularly, and sometimes we're on the same side, sometimes we're not. And so, you know, you get a reputation for how you treat other attorneys, and how you, you know, especially when you're dealing with the state, you have to deal with them frequently. And so it's good that you, that you're respected by other attorneys, and they feel like even if you disagree on the law, you can kind of agree on procedural aspects and the way everyone's going to handle the matter. So
I always I went to the law school of Law and Order SVU, and I always think it's interesting whenever they're actually doing court scenes how they know the reputation of every single attorney that walks through the court.
Yeah, and Cole County has a small bar, so you see the same faces over and over. And so, yeah, if you are, you know, if you mislead another attorney, it's going to stick with you. So I think, you know, people want to work with people that they can trust.
Yeah.
Question 2. What irrational fear do you have?
Irrational fear. Irrational fear of heights, but irrational fear. I really dislike dogs. I know, isn't that terrible? I know, and so it's an irrational fear.
Podcast over.
I know. I know. Get out. No, I'm so, no, it's an unpopular opinion, but I think like I've just seen like some bad behavior of dogs. So especially larger dogs, I think I have an irrational fear of like.
So I'm going to say that I don't think they're bad dogs. I think they're bad owners.
Probably. You agree. I agree. Just wanted to clarify
that to our listeners.
Irrational fear of large dogs.
It's kind of funny. We're taping this episode of the Hashtag Millage podcast from our very, very secret clubhouse where we can wear yoga pants and no makeup. And less than 20 feet from our guest, Stephanie Bell, there are two dogs that are genuinely bigger than she is.
Not all dogs, just occasionally.
You know, that's how I feel about like people in general. What's your third question?
So my third question was, are you a cat person or a dog person?
I had cats and dogs growing up. I like
we
them
will scratch
do you
that
have, do you have any pets? You have three kids.
I had a fish.
You had a fish.
Currently it's on vacation.
No.
Still.
Oh.
And we've never gotten it back. And
is it on vacation through the park?
Is it on a permanent vacation?
It is.
Okay.
And we've been meaning to bring him back, but we haven't done that.
We have Optimus Prime 2.0.
Okay.
So I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a thing? Like,
yeah, this is Optimus.
No, like kids need to name fish like weird things. Like my nephew.
I just think that's kids. Kids are weird. Just
kids
generally
are really
speaking,
weird.
Not specific to naming of animals.
Our red beta was named Goldie. It was a boy.
Yeah, like cats named Fluffy. It's like that's how far they can go.
Yeah,
Fluffy. Okay, so the replacement question is going to be, what is an impressive skill that you have? So I will give you one of my, the reason
other
I
than
thought,
like running
this
the
is,
world.
This is, right, other than like being an attorney. Like, this is mine. I thought of this the other day. I am exceptionally accurate with a fly swatter. Like 99% accuracy. Like every time, one swing and I get that fly.
That's a real skill.
It is. So that was where mine was. You can actually have something that like brings value to your life that being that, but that
Wait,
doesn't.
How did this come about?
There was a fly yesterday and I, one and done, and I had another one. I was like, I'm actually really good at that.
So you're taking stats on your own abilities?
Yeah,
you know,
I'll make notes in my phone. But anyway, this is your question. So what is an impressive skill that you have?
I would say for an attorney, I am exceptionally good at technology and social media. And so I did have a blog for a while. I run a lot of social media pages like for nonprofits and other people kind of on the side. And I pay a lot of attention to latest trends. So I think I don't see a lot of really tech-savvy attorneys. It's kind of a hard balance,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that's my exceptional skill.
And this is real life. I listened to one of my friends explain to an attorney for 45 minutes yesterday how to set up his email on his phone.
How old was he?
Okay, most attorneys I've met...
He's like our age, actually. Okay.
Have figured out how to set up their email. But I think for a lot, you know, I'm kind of right at that generation where like I had Facebook in college. So like I social media is second nature to me.
Okay, so what, we'll do last question. What is the best thing that's happened to you this week?
Oh.
This week.
You know, you should follow her on Instagram.
Okay.
Because all of her, or at least two of her kids, she has three, not like a gaggle or anything, have done like meme-worthy things that are
okay.
on her Instagram.
Oh, like yes. viral, going viral?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
My daughter put a quarter in a vending machine yesterday. Out came an Easter egg, and you open it up, and it was a Jesus.
What?
Yes. Hmm. Check my Instagram.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was interesting. They are meme-worthy, but I will say the best thing that happened to me is just having my kids. I mean, my son started kindergarten this year, and you're always nervous about what's going on. And he got his midterm report back with glowing reviews, and he got to have lunch with the principal this week, and so he was really excited about
that. So that's a good
that.
Thing. I saw that on your Facebook.
Yeah, he wasn't in trouble.
Okay.
He got drawn out of, like, a raffle. And was a lucky winner to go have lunch with the
So do they have like steak brought in?
I think they had school lunch. I think he said it was a cheeseburger.
Mm. Oh, okay. Which is better. My mom was a principal for a long time while I was in school, so that would not have been a joy for me. sorry.
So I would have been the kid that actually turned down the principal for lunch.
Oh, I was a teacher's pet all the way. I would have been like in heaven. Oh, oh my god, love the principal, love the yeah, heaven. That would have been like my personal celebrity.
Right on.
Was the principal.
Becky, we would have been.
Shout out to Mrs. Sennett, love you.
We would have been on very opposite sides of the spectrum in high school.
I thought, and to this day, actually, I think the gym teacher is like the coolest person in the world. Like that's the coolest job. Why didn't I ever do sports so I could become a PE teacher? Like you get to go to school and play kickball like all day.
Or red light, green
and,
light.
You know, yeah, red light, green light. Tell kids not to smoke. Tell kids to like.
I feel like you can't. Water. Can kids even like touch each other to play sports in school anymore?
Yes.
Like, are they allowed to do that?
Yeah. Like, Parker's had some incidents.
Yeah. Right. I feel like you can't play Red Rover anymore because that's
no,
like
it has
very,
a new name.
Yeah.
That's supposed to come out of.
Oh, okay.
And you can't play like dodgeball.
Yeah. See, I wasn't.
Yeah. When they got rid of dodgeball, that's yeah. where things started going wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking
exactly.
of federalism, man. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Stephanie Bell. And of course, thank you to the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring the hashtag Millennial Lunch podcast. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening.